From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey has entered into settlements with several major drug companies for their role in the opioid crisis. WBUR's Martha Biebinger has been following the story and joins me now. Hi, Martha.
Hey there, Arun.
So, Attorney General Healey's office helped negotiate a massive $26 billion settlement announced this week. Tell us about the details here and how this fits into other efforts to hold drug makers and distributors accountable.
Right. So this is the largest amount of money that we have seen to date. Massachusetts' share alone is expected to be about $500 million. So if the deal is approved, the money would come from three of the country's largest drug distributors, as well as one manufacturer. That's Johnson & Johnson. Here's Attorney General Healey.
It's about securing resources for our communities. It's about making major, significant industry changes to prevent this type of crisis from ever happening again.
Now, there's also Massachusetts expects to also receive about $90 million directly from Purdue Pharma, the makers of OxyContin, and from the Sackler family owners. What happens with all this money?
The plan is that all of that money, Arun, would go into a special opioid settlement trust fund that Massachusetts set up. That fund already has almost $12 million from some earlier, smaller settlements. Now, it's important to note that these amounts aren't confirmed, what we talked about from the distributors or from Purdue, because they have to be approved by all the states and counties and cities and towns that sued those parties. And that won't be resolved probably until later this year.
At the end of this, though, if Massachusetts does receive $600 million or so to address the opioid crisis, who decides how that is all going to be spent?
Well, it'll be up to the state, but they've set up an advisory group that includes doctors, local health department directors, people who run treatment programs, and others who are kind of directly involved in the day-to-day of this opioid crisis. That group met earlier this week, and they started to make a list of this wide range of priorities. You know, it includes everything, Arun, from housing for drug users who are homeless, more vans that would carry treatment out into the communities, counseling for the kids who've lost parents to an overdose, higher wages for street outreach teams who are burning out, you know, with this pretty difficult work. Dr. Elsie Taveras is at Mass General. She's on that advisory council, and she says that she feels hope that the funds coming in will make a difference.
It is years of seeing the unbelievable impact that the opioid epidemic has had, and finally seeing the hope that this money will actually be put towards prevention, treatment, and harm reduction.
Right, and hearing that, there's urgency, right? The people are still dying in huge numbers, so the cities and towns must want this money now to deal with this as soon as possible. The state set a new record for overdoses last year. Is there any tension about, whether to spend the money, deliberating on this, spending it on immediate needs or projects like training? How is this going to break out?
Yeah, I think the discussions are going to be pretty intense, Arun, because as you said, there is real urgency. You know, the western part of the state, Berkshire County, saw a tremendous increase in overdose deaths last year. We saw overdose spike for Black men last year. So there are some groups that are saying, like, don't sit on the money, give it to us now. But at the same time, if you are going to do things like build housing or train a more diverse workforce, that takes some time. So we'll start to get a sense of this group's priorities when they meet in September and make some initial decisions about where to start spending.
Well, hearing all this, just a final thought, it's kind of encouraging because I was thinking back to the tobacco settlement, right, when there are huge windfalls and so much of that money did not go towards, helping people who are addicted to tobacco or paying for medical bills, things like that. This is actually pretty detailed already.
So, Arun, there is a slight caveat there. The major settlement that we just talked about, that $500 million that might come to Massachusetts, there are 150 cities and towns that also sued those parties. Now, the state and those cities and towns haven't decided whether all of the money coming into Massachusetts will go into that trust fund or whether some of it will go out to the individual cities and towns. Their attorneys say the intent is still to spend it on the opioid crisis, but you know, there are other priorities, schools, roads, all kinds of things that cities and towns are struggling to fund right now as well. And so that's a little bit to be determined.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to keep watching it with your help. This is deeply interesting, and given how much this has hurt so many people, really compelling. Martha, thank you for this.
Thank you for having me, Arun.
That's WBUR's Martha Biedinger. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. As COVID cases rise in Massachusetts, Governor Charlie Baker says he has no plans to reintroduce a statewide mask mandate.
We're not looking at changing any of our existing rules or policies. I've said before that we have a set of statewide standards, and they're based on what we see on a statewide basis. And if communities believe they need to pursue strategies that are more effective and appropriate for them, that they should do so.
The city of Cambridge has already done so, issuing an advisory to residents that they wear masks in places where COVID can easily be spread. Provincetown issued a similar advisory earlier this week following an outbreak of more than 250 COVID cases dating back to the start of this month. Many of the new cases are occurring in people who have been vaccinated, but the vast majority of those people are asymptomatic or only exhibiting mild symptoms of COVID-19. Looking ahead to this fall, students will be required to wear masks in Boston public schools. Acting Mayor Kim Janey says children are already wearing face coverings for summer school and other city programs, and that the policy will continue as COVID vaccines have yet to roll out to younger kids.
As folks know, there are a number of children who still are not eligible for the vaccine.
Her decision follows the advice of the American Academy of Pediatrics, which recommends all students over the age of 2 and school staff wear a mask when classes start. The Boston Teachers Union says it agrees with Janey's decision, but hopes the policy will be reevaluated when younger children become eligible for a vaccine. And finally, despite the rise in COVID cases, Rhode Island's Newport Folk Festival is returning to the stage this weekend after being canceled last year. This year's festival will operate at 50% capacity, and attendees will have to provide proof of vaccination or else a negative COVID test. Newport City Council Vice Chair Lynn Underwood-Segley says that with vaccination rates high in the Northeast, she's confident that those precautions will be enough.
You look at New York, you look at New Jersey, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, we've been very proactive and people have been very, you know, amenable to getting the vaccine.
The Newport Folk Festival starts today and runs through Wednesday, July 28th. Whatever you're doing this weekend, stay safe. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. Between Zoom meetings and Zoom classrooms, have you and the kids had enough of screen time? Turn off the screen and tune into the brand new Pinkalicious and Peterific podcast. Join Pinkalicious and her little brother Peter as they sing along to their favorite songs from the hit PBS kids show Pinkalicious and Peterific. It's fun to say, so I'll say it one more time. Pinkalicious and Peterific. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.